One of the more striking features of Parshas Baalotzchah, probably the most striking feature, are the well-known, well-documented upside-down nuns, which bracket two psukim in the middle of Parshas Baalotzchah. Vayehi bin soa haron vayomer Moshe kum Hashem v'yafutzu evecha uvenocha yamar shuv Hashem rivavos alfei Yisrael. Psukim that are well-known, familiar to everyone. What are these double nunin? What function are they serving? Fascinating questions. What are the sources of special letters in the Torah? Big vavs of Gachon, big ayins of Shema, small olives of Vayikra, and of course dozens and dozens of other subtle changes that people don't even notice. Twirls in the pei and backward slants of the nun and charan. So there's a sefer called Sefer Tagi, which essentially collected all these traditions that were handed to Moshe at Har Sinai. According to some, Moshe actually saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating not just the crowns, but also special letters in Shemayim, the Gemara and Menachos. Either way, two of the more famous ones are the upside-down nuns in Parshas Baalotzchah. So there's a very well-known machlokas, where in Shabbos, Kuf Tesvav, between Rebbe, and at least for the purposes of this year, the other shita. There really are three shitas in the Gemara, but let's assume that it's really just two. Rebbe holds that these two psukim entail an autonomous, separate, disconnected sefer bifnei atzmo. In fact, according to Rebbe, there are seven chumashim in the Torah, not five. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar till this stage, this two pasuk sefer, the rest of Bamidbar, which brings us to six, and then Devarim. And to denote that this is a separate, cordoned off sefer, the Torah is bracketed. The Torah brackets it by upside down nuns. The Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel had a different idea. This parsha belongs elsewhere, earlier in the Torah, it doesn't say where. But the reason it was relocated here is to somehow create a pause in the middle of a string of very, very negative, unfortunate, partial rebellious, quasi-rebellious events. The great rebellions of Bamidbar will begin next week, Meraglim, Korach, Ma'apilim, but there's a string of very unsavory, unattractive activities and events in the end of Baalotzchah, the slander of Moshe, this unlicensed prophecy of Eldad Umedad, the complaining, the misonanim, the tava for Basar. And at least according to this Gemara, that all begins even before this two-pasuk section, when the Jews turn away from Har Sinai, according to some, they also just turned their hearts, they were disinterested, according to others, they actually bolted. It was a jailbreak, they ran too quickly. Either way, the Torah doesn't want there to be an uninterrupted string of sad events, and of course the punishments that are delivered from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the transgressors. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a parsha from somewhere else of two psukim, relocates it, inserts it here to create a pause of some more seemly and triumphant psukim, and to denote not a separate sefer, but an inserted, dislocated section, the Torah brackets it with nuns. What's this machlokas? To understand the machlokas, you have to understand the context. Bamidbar is a very, very splintered is a bad word, dichotomous, safer. The beginning is very supernatural, miraculous, meta-historical. The Jewish people are ready. The Machane is ready. The Aron is ready. The Levim, the porters, are ready. The flags are hoisted. The trip to Israel is a mere 3 days, 1 day, 11 days, but it's pretty quick and imminent, and history is about to end, and Am Yisrael is about to march into Eretz Yisrael and conquer history and usher in the utopia for all of mankind. The end of Bamidbar is very tragic. All that is compromised and forfeited in a slow effacement of moral commitment and faith, and the darkest moment, of course, is Korach. Incitement not just against HaKadosh Baruch Hu or against his land, but against his leader Moshe. And in Parshas Baalotzchah, we're right at that seam. Right here, these two psukim are right at the seam where everything goes south, where everything is inverted, where everything... There are two trajectories. The trajectory was meant to be the supernatural trajectory, and instead we exchange it with a trajectory of exile, of suffering, not just for 40 years of wandering in the desert, but for history, in which the Jews are still struggling to recover their ancient glory. These two psukim are inserted right at the seam in order to demonstrate how history should have evolved, what history should have provided for us. We should have been led by the Aron, demolishing any enemies to rise against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people, and instead we were chased. We should have been able to return home peacefully and tranquilly in our land, Shuv HaShem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael, and instead we're scattered. So the Torah presents a harsh, alternative, historical narrative to highlight, to demonstrate what could have been, and how we forfeited that. Rabbi Soloveitchik famously felt that the upside-down flipping of the Nun demonstrates the inversion of history, that history became inverted. We should have been privileged, and instead we suffered. Now, what's the machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? They both agree. They both agree with where we are at this seam or fault line of history. They both agree that these two psukim are meant to announce what history should have provided, to punctuate and to even adumbrate how frustrated we should feel in the face of this fallen historical narrative. The question is how? According to Rebbe, there is a separate, hermetically sealed sefer. It's static. It has nothing to do with its surroundings. It's a sefer bifnei atzmo. The relationship between these two psukim and the rest of Bahaloscha / Bamidbar, the rest of Jewish history, is just like the relationship between Shmos and Vayikra. Shmos and Vayikra aren't related. They're separate svarim. There is a clear division and a cordoning off. Hashem says, this is what history should have reflected, and instead you squandered that. Instead, you failed. You compromised history. It's a very harsh and caustic message. There's nothing in common between how history has unfolded and how history was meant to unfold. So there is an embrasure and a budding of two completely separate, in no way interactive texts, the text of the ideal world and the text of our fallen world, the text of Kum Hashem V'Yafutzu Oyvecha, and then the rest of Bamidbar, which is, of course, the invitation to Galus, and, in fact, the first Galus of 40 years in the desert. Whereas, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the same message is delivered about Galus and squandering history and forfeiting historical opportunity, but it's delivered very differently and with two changes. Number one, it isn't a static, separate, hermetically sealed, cordoned off, dislocated, disconnected sefer. It's part of the text. In fact, it's a fluid text, and it's a text that was lifted from some other location, which should have been probably in the middle, in the beginning of Bamidbar, when people are actually ready to travel to Israel. This should have been the natural continuation. But the Gemara says that one day, when we are redeemed, these two psukim will be reinserted into their original location. Namely, this is an important point, we may be in Galus, and may feel lonely, we may feel detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what? Torah is also affected by Galus. The order and the sequencing of the parshas in the Torah has been shuffled, because when Jews suffer, so does Torah. And when we're in Galus, so is the Shechina. And as Shechina is right there with us. And it's a harsh statement about how we compromised and rerouted history, but it's also a comforting statement that Hashem is with us in Galus. And that one day when we're redeemed, the Torah will be restored to its original sequencing. And it feels a bit consoling to know that we go through Galus with the Shechina, suffering the same way we suffer. And the second consolation is Hashem says, I don't want Balosra to be this uninterrupted stream of suffering, punishments, tsaras, people being burnt by fire. So Hashem says, I'm going to interrupt them by inserting a parshin to create some space and breathing room. And this, of course, is a template for galus. Exile was difficult. It is difficult. Pogroms, expulsions, decrees, forced conversion. But Hashem didn't create an unending, unabating nightmare. By and large, Jews prospered. By and large, Jews built communities, families, altered their societies, impacted upon their societies. So Hashem takes the Torah and inserts a section to inform us that we may go into galus, but Hashem will be there with us. The Torah will be in a state of exile or chaos or lack of proper sequencing. And also, no matter how we suffer, Hashem worries about us to make sure that our suffering is mitigated, or at least that we're given time and breathing room to rehabilitate ourselves. And that's the difference between the message of Rebbe and the message of Rashbag, and they're each an important message. Galus is a fall, and we have to absorb the guilt and the accountability for failing. And this is a harsh, unrelenting, caustic, almost hurtful statement. This is how history should have unfolded. Kum Hashem v'yafutz oivecha. Look at how history did unfold. History should have been characterized by Shuvah Hashem, Rivavos, Alfei Yisrael. And instead of Venucho Yomar Vefitzch Hashem Bechol Hamim, we're scattered across the globe. But Rashbag's statement on the eve, right at the tzim, right as Gullus is about, at least the potential for Gullus, the model for Gullus, the template for exile, is about to unfold, is not only are you in Gullus, but the Torah is out of sequence. And you're in Gullus, but Hashem says, I won't let it just be endless suffering. I'll make sure that there are points to recapture your spirit and your breath and your energy.